regular meeting.
All right. Well, we will dive right in. We will begin, as always, with any city or citizen comments. Individuals may address the board or topics not otherwise on the agenda. The folks have been there. If you see any hands go up or something, Justin, let me know. We will give them an opportunity. And we will go to open agenda items. Commissioner Russell, anything to add?
I have none.
Commissioner Lindsay.
I would like to add a discussion about the La Guama and a letter supporting Randy Jones to continue his efforts.
Supporting who, sorry?
Randy Jones with DEQ.
Do you have any hurry for that, Commissioner Russell? I'm okay with that. We will add that as item F.
I have one also recommendation. It's not as formalistic, of course, but there are two dates we need to think about. One, when at the time we're going to be holding next Wednesday's Board of Commissioner meeting. I think sometimes there's that little one at AOC conference or something else. Try to figure out the right time. The location would be usually kind of a good spot, but just try to set the time so we can notify folks at that time. And the other is also maybe trying to decide the day and time that works for the North End Board of Commissioner meeting. Over in Erie. So that location, just trying to find the right date that works for everybody. So just those two date things for discussions, maybe near the end of the business item.
Yeah, okay. I will make sure they get in, Justin, we can add them as item G. I think they're probably more nuts and bolts than business item, but we can at least, well, we'll have it there so that it's locked in. So remind me when we get there. I have a couple things. One, I was going to bring in an agenda item. I'm frankly happy to say that there's been some real productive talks, at least from what I'm hearing with the Mr. Murray and maybe Chief Hughes and Ken Brown. And so I built on that a little bit and talked with OHA and talked with Liz Heckethorn and talked with some medical service providers, ambulance service providers, and I think short of the some of the documentation of and some of the things we've been discussing, I think there's the potential for some movement. I visited with council this morning and asked him about putting it on the agenda. His recommendation is that we suspend it a little bit from the agenda and allow him to get together with the parties. And try and craft something that can maybe come back to the board, come back to in a consent calendar. And I would suggest that even the possibility exists maybe just in next week. Liz Heckthorn, my thought is, and we can parse this out a little bit, and I'll visit with you, is that if it's something that is withdrawn maybe from the consent calendar, we can set it over to the following week. And if it's something that is able to move through, then we won't get into it. We can discuss that maybe a little more in item G, if that's fair.
Not a problem. Yeah, and I think just for the idea of the recommendation for BOC today or not, or the board like wishes to do, I just had it, I sent an email off, haven't received some documents yet, but I think there's some more discussion to happen. I had a good conversation with Chief Hughes. He called some questions about the process, and just was talking to him, the letter that was sent out, and wasn't sure if it was going to be set at all for this. My understanding is it wasn't going to be so brought back this week at all.
It
sounds like since that time there's another conversation.
No, there has. And I want to be careful because we've tabled the discussion, and your recommendation relative to the documentation in need and some of these things has been suspended. This is. Maybe documentation light, if I might. it's the ability for the fire hall to do some things that they'd like to do, and certainly I will have to reach out to Mr. Murray, but he was certainly in favor of them doing these things, and he said it gave them the ability to sit down with the fire folks and maybe craft something together that works for both of them, but it's a little less than the ask that had initially came. So I will get with you, get you that information in your capacity. You can certainly reach out to the parties and reach out to the liaison, and maybe we can get something crafted for next week. But again, I will stop short of putting it on as an agenda item, but I will get with you on the sidebar and have you get with these folks and show you what I'm looking at to craft up and maybe get out to the public and get out in a potential consent next week. That work?
That works.
Okay.
We're learning more.
Okay. And the other item I wanted to is a late scratch, if I might. The item, and if I can pull it up here. Item E, I think, want to have a discussion around that, but that was the dues invoice that is here, I think, is a something that's gone through budget, frankly. And I think we just need to kick it downstairs, and if it comes back in the IPs and we want to have a discussion about dues, then we can have it. And I will try and build in a broader discussion around the whole partnership at a later date. But I don't want to get outside of what's been budgeted and move forward. So if it's all right with you guys, I will kick that downstairs and we can have that go through its normal course. So with that, we will.
So I guess I'm confused on that.
Sure.
So your finale dues is now going to come back in accounts payable?
I think it's been budgeted, right? It's not unlike the Eastern County's dues, I suppose.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we can have a discussion about. But insofar as it's been budgeted and these kind of things, I don't think we want to necessarily build the discussion around the approved budgeted dues is kind of what I'm suggesting. It's a different conversation. So, and certainly if you're opposed to the dues as it comes through the APs or you know, as per anything else, you can certainly pull it out and have some discussion. Thank you. With that, we will go to the consent calendar. Commissioner Lindsay, anything to remove?
I have nothing.
Commissioner Russell?
No, I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar as submitted.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the consent calendar as presented. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries 3-0. Thank you. And with that, we will, Kevin's here, we will dive right into business items, and we'll begin with item A, resolution number R-2022-24, approving the Morrow County credit card use policy. Kevin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Kevin Ince, Morrow County Finance Director. We, in your packets, I included both a final version of the proposed credit card policy, as well as a red line version, which highlights any of the changes that were made subsequent to the work session that we held on the 26th to talk about that policy. There were some input and feedback that I incorporated into the final version. And just to touch on those really quickly, on the red line version, page 5, added an exception for gift card purchases, specifically to the victim's witness program or similar circumstances. I think Justin definitely iterated the need to be able to have the flexibility there. And then on page 6, just made a more specific call out of the expectation or the requirement that for undocumented purchases that are lacking proper documentation aren't going to be approved through accounts payable. Those will be, well, they will be to pay the bill, but they'll be invoiced back to the person who made that charge on the card. And then rewrote the language on the employee usage credit card agreement on the last page there. So with that, I prepare a resolution if the board so desires to move forward and approve that policy, or if there's any other questions.
I'll move approval of resolution number R-2022-24 to replace the current Morrow County credit card policy last revised in 2016 and direct Kevin Ince, Morrow County Finance Director, to implement it.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve resolution R-2022-24, etc., and have it implemented post haste, frankly. Any discussion, questions, comments?
Yeah, we did go over this briefly, not in detail, but it was brought to the director's meeting yesterday so that they all had an opportunity to take a look at it, and I didn't receive any outreach other than, looks like Mike has his hand up, Mike Gorman did inquire about the policy change and what I might be able to point to, so I'll let him ask his own question.
Does he have a hand up, Justin, or is that just your mouse?
That's my hand up.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Well, my concern with the change on page 6 regarding a detailed receipt or invoice, I know there are some cases where you cannot get a detailed receipt. It'll say like one, it's very generic, and I ran into this before with a prior finance director and staff where I got a little grief over that, and I don't think that the department should be on the hook to reimburse the county because they don't have an itemized receipt because they could not get one.
Can you give me an example, Mike?
I think I'm talking a lot towards meals. A lot of times, there'll be sometimes, you know, they're just a might be a handwritten thing on a generic notepad or something. You know, I know I've had this issue in the past, and this just seems a little extreme to me.
Last time I went to Bellinger's, they do a handwritten receipt, and it just said food, and I went up, and they put every ounce of detail on that handwritten receipt. I can't think of any other time where I couldn't get a detailed receipt. Mike, where might that be that you're thinking of?
Well, I can't really think of one off the top of my head because we haven't been traveling as much the last few years. You know, since COVID, it's just a concern of mine. Apparently, it's not a concern of anyone else, so I won't waste anyone else's time.
No, it's valid. We want to have a deeper conversation. I talked to Kevin a little bit. Association of Counties, as their treasurer, our audit required us, basically, as best practice, that we reduce the number of credit cards that are outstanding, and I think we had somewhere around 15, and we had to get it down to 5. So a piece of this is also to make sure that we can continue to hold the flexibility that we do for our staff, as well as best practice from Kevin. And sorry, I shouldn't answer for you, Kevin, but just wanted to share that.
So, Mike, I guess in response to that, it's a valid concern, absolutely. I think that you know what came out of the work session and that discussion. And that exists in this policy is there's some level of discretion. So if there's, I think the example that was given was during COVID when one of the commissioners needed to fill up their gas tank and they weren't going to go inside and get a receipt. And they took a picture of the fuel pump and it clearly showed the total on the fuel pump and that clearly aligned with the charge that went on the card. I think that's one of those extreme circumstances and has a rational, you know, reasonable explanation behind it. So, you know, it's not the intention to penalize, certainly through this policy, but more the intention to, you know, make every effort to add transparency to all of the transactions. And then as a second comment, you know, were we in the private sector, just to add some contrast to this, and subject to, you know, the IRS regulations for, you know, credit card programs and employee uses of those, itemized receipts are an absolute requirement. You know, given that we're a government agency, you know, we're not subject to those. But just to offer some comparison. So, does that, I guess, address the concern?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
So, Kevin, just as an example, if I went to whatever restaurant, and you know, oftentimes they'll give you two receipts. One just has a total on it that you purchased. One is more detailed. And if I just brought back the receipt that had the total on it, realized it at the time, then on the back,
wrote down, you know, my recollection of the meals that we got and the approximate price. Would that suffice?
I think no, it would not.
Okay. So then I need to make sure when I get my receipt that it's the receipt that's...
Right.
Okay. Good enough.
Been moved and seconded to approve resolution R-2020-24 to replace the current Morrill County credit card policy last revised in 16 and direct Kevin Innes to implement it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0. Thanks, Kevin. And as always, I know you got a lot on your plate, but there's, you know, these kind of things, right? And I remember 6 or 7 years ago, Commissioner Lindsay said, we need to look at a cash handling policy. And, these things are out
there. It's on the list.
Yes.
All right. Absolutely.
Thank you. We'll move into item B, the amended contract with Ducote Consulting, Grant Writing and Environmental Services, Tamara Mabbitt, Planning Director. Tamara. Are you on? Timmer may be in the CDA / BRAC meeting at the moment. I'm not sure, so we will just slide past there a minute, and I will try to text her real quick. And we will move to Lindsay, who's here with us. And item C, we'll jump back to B here in a minute, but payday policy change, Lindsay Grogan, Human Resource Director. Lindsay.
Good morning.
Good morning. Are you getting a little bit more? Thank you.
All right, I'm approaching you today in hopes of making a policy amendment to changing paydays from every other Thursday to every other Friday. The reason behind this is because we perform our pay rolls the week of the time that the pay period closes. So most places actually perform their pay rolls the week following. To give their payroll staff a chance to, you know, get those time cards filtered through and allow for any emergencies or holidays or any time off, anything like that. So basically, our current payroll administrator has the time cards closed on Monday at noon, and she has a hard deadline, has to get them submitted by Tuesday at noon. So she doesn't take off any payroll Monday when there's a holiday. She is very busy, barely making the deadline, and she has 17 plus years of payroll experience with the county, and she is retiring. So I have hired another person for that job, but I just don't see how it's reasonable to ask someone to do that that's coming in new to the job. So we're wanting to ask to move that to Fridays. There would still be, after you get the initial first week moved, it would, you know, still be the same amount of days between payrolls. It would just be that first week that it would be 1 day delay. And we're looking to do that on the first payroll of December. If approved, it would be, I think, December 2nd. So we would move the pay day from the 1st to the 2nd. I've already spoken with both of our unions, AFSCME and Teamsters, and they have both already tentatively agreed pending the board's decision, and they've signed letters of agreement of, you know, being amenable to that change.
And we need to sign a letter back, right, at least in of what we're considering. Is that what they're asking?
Yeah, so if we made the change, you know, effective for all employees, then you would just need to sign the letter of agreement saying that you that both parties agree to this change for the CDAs to, you know, so that we don't have to go to negotiations.
Yeah, what I'm suggesting though is you need two separate motions.
I think so. That's kind of how I laid it out.
Would that be better, counsel?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll make the first motion to approve the proposed payroll policy with changes to the bi-weekly paydays from Thursdays to Fridays.
We moved and seconded to approve the payroll policy, which changes the biweekly pay days from Thursday to Friday. Any questions, comments, thoughts, Commissioner Lindsay?
No, the fact that you've already ran this past the unions makes it seem pretty clear to me that.
Yeah, my thoughts are, I mean, I've done payroll for over 40 years. I mean, that's the first job I had with Georgia Pacific was in their payroll department back in 1979. So that's how long I've been doing payroll. I say one-time hit to those employees that are living paycheck to paycheck that they're not going to get paid on Thursday of next week. They're going to get paid on Friday of next week. But then the cycle will be the same from there on out. And if the unions have agreed to it, I'm behind it. Because it does give our payroll manager the opportunity to have just that little bit of extra time. And I mean, I've done payroll where we did it the next day, got time cards on Monday and paid on Tuesday, and that was very difficult. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good move.
Thank you. And we decided to try to make it effective the 1st of December. That way I can send out an email to all staff and make sure that they have, you know, the 3 weeks of lead time in case there's any changes that they need to make for, like, automatic bill pays or anything like that.
I can tell you also from experience, when I was young and worked for a CPA firm, and they always paid on Friday, and they decided not to pay on Friday that week, but to pay on Saturday, because that's when our pay day fell on, and banks weren't open on Saturday and Sunday. And I was in that paycheck to paycheck part of my life. It was very difficult. So we need to give our employees a heads up. That one was just a surprise to us, and luckily I didn't bounce any checks.
Yeah, and I know relative to the wage study that we're getting ready to embark on, and I'll bring that up a little later, Lindsay, some of our employees relative to what they should be making are kind of living hand to mouth. So,
just one more if I could,
sure.
Chair. So we've got the second half of the 5% payroll bonus coming out. Is that the 1st of December?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it says the 1st payroll in December.
Okay, so that should
dovetail with this.
Yeah, dovetail with this. Yeah, exactly. I okay. Thanks.
Yeah, it will. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, fit in with this. So, been moved and seconded to make the change. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries 3-0. And to the second motion, which is to approve the chair to sign the letter of agreement with both the AFS-CME and the Teamsters in order to change paydays to Fridays for all employees, I would tender that motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to sign the agreement. I appreciate, Lindsay, you work reaching out and working with them, you know, because we've got different subsets of levels of folks, right? Not levels of folks, but, you know, the way they're signed on with the county. So any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Yeah. Commissioner Rutherford's point is make sure this goes out in an email more than once. And I know as your liaison to the road department that they don't necessarily get their emails. So probably making sure that someone in that department, probably the roadmaster, has an actual verbal conversation with them before it happens.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Probably the parks too.
They usually will post my all staff emails to the shop.
Good.
So
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, I just had a thought. We can continue on and see if Tamara happens to get back with us. I actually recall now she sent me an email the other day. I haven't gone back, but she's traveling to a planners conference, or I forget what it was, but she was going to be en route to some stuff. But the contract that we're looking at is kind of a redo or an extension of a contract that we kind of needed an interim hold on it, am I correct, until we kind of lock down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was just an extension of the contract term.
Yeah. So if the board is amenable, unless you have direct questions.
Or actually, I'm sorry.
You don't have to count the one.
It's Nick Ducati, but it's an extension of the work he was already doing, I believe. And we are looking at a new or different grant writing contract that you're still efforting through, Kevin, correct?
Yes.
And this one kind of just ties him over to that one, if I'm right. Is that fair?
I think there was also an increase in this as well, so it wasn't just an extension.
We will again move on. And
is this one time sensitive, Chair?
Everyone, Cameron talking about it. She was asking when it first came up. It was the idea of even reviewing of certain agreements. I remember if it was this one, I had on me to talk to her is about an amount. So, well, I had this amount for this contract. Then she says, oh, well, what's the amount? It was less than $10,000. Okay, well, that's different. That one you can do yourself. Generally, if you have funding, you find it, funding for it. And so I said, yeah, I think that should be fine. I thought she was working on this one herself. It was either going to review or sign off. I thought she was talking about whether it needed to go back to the board. So that was a quick conversation I had with her. Basically, more about the amount. Hey, this is a smaller amount. But
she reached out to Commissioner Lindsay. She said in a few minutes she can jump back on. So we will just suspend that. It's not time sensitive for 10 minutes anyway.
Okay.
With that, we will move to item D, access agreement with the Department of Environmental Quality, DEQ, on the former Ion gas station. And Commissioner Lindsay, I know both you and Commissioner Russell have been efforting on that, and you're going to bring this discussion to us, please.
Super, super exciting news. I got response from both EPA and DEQ that they're committed to this project. In fact, DEQ is already with my approval, but waiting for our approval before they formalize it, started contracting processes with a company to consult on this project. DEQ will carry this administratively, and all of the work, other than the only caveat is any asphalt that would be damaged in the process, they don't replace asphalt, so they'll put it back to gravel. The site itself does not have asphalt. Of course, it is on Main Street in Ione, so if there should be damage to Main Street in Ione, that would be a different conversation along the way. But they are prepared to go on site, do all the testing around the tanks and the fill dirt around the tanks, and get the site to a point of being clear through DEQ for no hazardous material. This is under the Browns Field, which I've spent a lot of time looking into because of the mill site work I've been doing. But this is in the Brownsfield dollars. And because the county owns the property, they're just super excited to jump in and help a government entity get a property like this back into good standing. The city of Ione has, as you know, a septic system that's getting well on its way. I brought in a regional solutions team that has really taken that leaps and bounds. And getting dollars as well, and they passed their own bond for their school, so they're really moving in some really positive directions. This sits right by Bank of Eastern Oregon and across from the grocery store, so it's part of their main street. And I've had many people reach out and say, hey, I'd like to do a coffee shop, but, you know, a lot of really great ideas for the main street I own. So getting this certified as clean into ownership somewhere else, I envision potentially an ICABO take the lead on that, where maybe the county donates it to an ICABO. They work with their local citizens to get a productive item there. So I'd love us to sign this access agreement, give me the authority to walk this a little bit further down the line and probably hand it off to Public Works. I'll take Eric down and just let him know where we're at and walk this on through to a clean handoff within 12 months, I'm told. That's amazing.
That's pretty cool.
So you have before you the access agreement giving DEQ the authority to move forward to bring in contractors to do this work. We do own the property, P.S. Just wasn't clear on that. It came to us by a foreclosure.
So I'll make the motion to approve the signing of the access agreement with DEQ.
Second.
That's fair. Who signs it?
Yeah, it's been moved and... Sorry?
It didn't sign by everyone.
Signed by everyone. The motion says by Vice Chair Lindsay, but I don't really care.
Apologies, I had that at home.
But it's got three signature lines on it, so.
Excellent. I meant to say signed by all three commissioners.
Been moved and seconded to approve the signing of the document for access with DEQ and have the chair and the other two commissioners sign. No, I think this is a good thing, and when they're there, I think I bring them down to the mill site and bring them, there's you know, a few other places, and we'll kind of, you know, the Brownsfield thing is interesting. I went to a couple conference on that here just a little while back. Those they call in dealing, and it's kind of interesting, that stuff. So.
Yeah, I would say 20 years ago, I would have qualified myself as a subject matter expert. Now I would qualify myself as an old guy that knows enough to be dangerous. But this is a new program that DQ's had since I was involved in this, where they take the burden off of local government when they get it for foreclosed property taxes, which is a great, because then it used to just become abandoned property and would be an eyesore forever. I've been following Commissioner Lindsay's work on this, and we're headed down the right path. Hopefully, they don't find any contamination there, and it's given a clean bill of health in the near future, so it can be put back into productive use.
Yeah, exactly.
Sheriff, can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
I'm not familiar, I apologize, really, for my lack of knowledge on the Brownsfields fund and funding program. Does DEQ then bear all of the financial responsibility for that? Or?
Correct.
Okay.
And I have an email. I'll make sure that I hand this off to someone clearly, that our only risk is asphalt.
Okay.
And there's no asphalt there.
And there's no asphalt there.
And if there were asphalt there, we wouldn't necessarily have to replace it to put the property back into productive use. We could just say, hey, here it is. It used to have asphalt. Doesn't anymore. It's got gravel.
All right. Thank you.
All in favor say aye.
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 Great job. Motion carried. Roberta, remind me what item F was.
Let me go back to open agenda.
LaGuama, Randy Jones?
Yeah, the letter supporting Randy Jones with the
Yeah, so you're still on the docket, if I might. If you want to bring that up, or certainly you need to do something.
If we take a quick break, I can go get copies of the letter so we can share them around.
We'll take 5 minutes.
Okay.
All right, guys, we're going to dive back in here, and if you'll indulge me, we're going to suspend Commissioner Lindsay's lukewarm discussion and jump back up to item B. You'll have to go back through your packet and get it brought back to the fore. It is the amended contract for grant writing and environmental services, and we've got Tamara, our planning director, on, and Tamara, We thought we could carry this forward without you, and we need you. So you're on. Potentially.
She's not.
Hopefully.
I don't see that she's.
Is she there?
I think so. No.
Okay. My bad. I was informed. Got a message that she was on from her.
Unless she's the one phone number at the bottom.
She is on the phone. She said, *6. If you're on, Tamara, you're not coming through.
She said she tried *6 and it didn't work. I'm putting you on speaker, Tamara.
Okay.
Why don't you just?
I'm so sorry to be a nuisance here. Yes. So. A proposed amendment to Nick Ducote's contract will allow us to continue working with Nick on Heritage Trail matters, primarily applying for grants, but also doing some environmental work as that's needed. He spent down the initial $5,000 we had under contract with him. Nick Ducote also happens to be one of the consultants that we selected as.
Yeah, is she?
She's right there.
Tamara, pause.
There we go. Hold on.
Now, Tamara, we got you live on screen.
Oh, I feel like I'm in a jail cell here, but they gave me a nice room. Anyway, sorry again for the being disruptive.
You need to hold up the little sign.
A little bit. What?
So you need to hold up the little sign with your mugshot. Oh, you got it there. It says, Tara Mabbitt on your name tag, so.
There you go.
Now it looks more like a mugshot.
I feel like I'm in a jail cell. I don't know. Anyway, okay, apologies again for being disruptive. I'm glad I could connect. So before you is a request to authorize the extension of a contract with Nick Ducote. We've been working with him for the past year and a half or so. He is a professional grant writer. His firm, Ducote Consulting, is. He also does a lot of related work, such as federal compliance, environmental compliance for grant projects. He's expended the initial amount that we contracted with him on, and so we would like to extend it. Nick Ducote was one of the two grant writers that the countywide grant writing committee selected, and so since that new contract format is not in place yet, I'm asking to allow us to go ahead under contract with Nick with this, an update of this contract, and then once we have in place the format that Kevin Entz had recommended, we could, you know, transfer into that. And I do, so this, the funding for this can either come from the money that the board had set aside for general grant writing, or I also have it in the planning department budget.
Yeah, I think, Tamara, I had mentioned to Kevin earlier that this was kind of a tie over to our new contract, but they're kind of parallel contracts a little bit. But he will come back as one of our bullpen grant writers in the new look contract. Is that fair?
That's correct. Yes.
Any questions, thoughts, comments, motions?
So, Tamara, moving forward, if somebody contracts with him, you know, let's say I want a grant to work on this gas station work, and he says, oh, that's probably going to cost you $10,000. How do we ever get a commitment to what it's going to cost to get through a grant if it's, well, I think I can do that for $5,000, but, oh, you took up a lot of my time going back and forth and emails and phone calls, and it was harder than I thought. How are we going to control that?
So with, Kevin, you might have to help me out here. With the proposal that Kevin had, and I think county councils agreed with it also, we will have a more or less a permanent grant agreement relationship with Park Associates and Ducote Consulting. And then for each individual project, if you will, so your gas station example, we'll write a scope of work for that project. And, you know, that's why we need department heads and staff commissioners to have a little bit of background. We'll work back and forth with either one of those consultants to refine that scope of work. The two that we selected both have vast experience on a variety of things, and part of the reason, Commissioner Lindsay, you were on that committee, the reason we selected two was they seem to have different levels of expertise, right? So they'll take the best educated guess on how much it might cost to research grants or to apply for a grant, and then we'll go from there.
I guess
is that sort of how you think it works? Kevin, is that how you're envisioning it?
Yeah, I don't have it right here in front of me, but I think the way that I made the recommendation was that we would outline a budget, and that would be defined in the statement of work for that particular project. And I guess any, and I guess I probably didn't clearly explicitly address this, but I did, you know, I did reference the, you know, approval and delegation of authority of, you know, directors and availability and at what level they need to go to the board. And also that's going to be subject to, you know, availability of budget funds, which is really on the directors to manage and oversee that. So I guess, you know, to the extent that, you know, we got a really low quote for a project and we had to keep coming back for it, you know, we would probably need to monitor the magnitude of what those changes are, and once it, you know, reaches a certain point, then we need to probably bring that back to the Board of Commissioners for
you know, additional approval if that's, if we want to keep moving forward with that. And it seems reasonable that would be in line with the approval limits and contract approval limits that are currently set. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I think about it in my mind. Does that answer?
Yeah, the problem that I see is you, and I'm assuming there was a scope of work on this contract. But the problem that I see is you do a scope of work with a consultant like this, and they say $5,000 will probably get us to a grant. But then you end up, it's more complicated, or you have someone like me that, you know, I didn't think about that, I'll go. And you've got 10 emails all of a sudden that you didn't expect. It's like working with an attorney, and all of a sudden your billable hours go from this to this. How will we control that one department doesn't eat up the entire grant thing, when it really, if we're clear in skies and we know what we're going in on, we shouldn't have this happening.
Super simple. I guess I would say is that you can, somebody do a flat thing up, or do a flat, one rate, you get it done. You know, that's what the benefit is of it. Sometimes companies probably will say, no, we do by hours. We don't know how many questions you're going to ask. We want it this way. I suppose for the future one, we have individual project scopes, and it's almost, you set that amount at that time. Like, each individual one, you know, will approve this scope of work, but maybe there's a thought we say not to exceed this amount, even for individual ones. It doesn't solve the problem that, hey, we didn't get it done.
Yeah.
But then it's pretty quick where the department doesn't run it up. Because, you know, if Kevin's looking at it saying, oh, here's the bill, and well, $5,000 for this grant writing, well, hold on, it only was up to $3,000. We weren't authorized to spend more than that. Department said, well, no, it took more time. Well, maybe that's more of a discussion, say, well, why? What happened here? And I put the concern of saying, we're not going to have one department, one office, use up all the fund money.
Right.
Because I'm not sure right now with some of these, in the future, if we're planning on using individual departments' budgets for this, I think that's probably the plan, but I'm not sure the idea is it using a set pool of money for it, or is it each individual department's budget?
I mean, you have to argue for both, but my recommendation was to use a pool of money so that we can oversee, you know, what the total expenditures are. To your point in the statement of work, the way that I've drafted that up, it's either a variable rate up to a fixed amount, not to exceed, or a flat fee. Commissioner Lindsay, I appreciate, you know, your concerns about it, but it's not unlike any other contract or agreement or professional service that we engage with as an organization. And
sure.
I feel like the onus is on the department heads and the directors to manage those agreements, because I don't know that we can have in my mind, it would be tough to have a black and white, you know, policy that, you know, says we're not going to go over this period, because sometimes, you know, we don't know, and the world changes a little bit, and it would be a good business decision to continue to expend those funds if, you know, to finish that project. So.
Good point.
Well, I do agree that that's the caution. That's the, I mean, think about the worst case scenario. One department, I want this grant writing, and if it's a pool of money, it's almost, then the BOC or someone's going to be kind of charged saying, if I'm using someone else's funds, maybe it's like, oh yeah, keep on doing this, keep on doing that. And that $50,000 we had allocated for the whole year, half of it gets used up on one smaller project. And my grant that got me $10,000. I spent $20,000 getting the grant.
Yeah.
That's the only worry. I think that's had to be some more internal on our aspect to keep track, and the board to say at a certain point, nope, that's not a proper use department. You're not able to use this grant writer. I think that's the control that the board commissioners would have at that point. You know, the one that goes over too far then gets off for everybody else.
So if I could, I think it would be probably beneficial to, you know, once we get this in place, before we start using the program, to have a workshop on how to be most efficient with people that are charging you by the billable hour. Because if, you know, Nick Ducati's rate is $100 an hour, an attorney can be $300 to $500 an hour. And every time they pick up the phone and they talk to you, most places are either billing on the quarter hour or the tenth of an hour.
Yeah.
So every phone call costs you money, and you need to have your thoughts well thought out before you just call up and start rambling on and spitballing with somebody that's charging you $100 or $500 an hour.
Yeah.
Because as the clock ticks, your bill goes up, and maybe you're getting benefit for it and maybe not. But if you had that well thought out, it reduces
the billable hours and makes the professional that charges that way a lot more efficient.
That's right.
And then also getting duplicate calls if there are more than one staff member working on something. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily the way to do it. It should be one lead person that handles all the interaction with the professional.
I think that's, if I may, Chair, and I think to Commissioner Russell's point, that's the standard practice that I have experienced, is that you have a lead person for the department that contacts. I think there's some responsibility on each director who is authorized to work directly with a consultant, like the message Katie Imes just put in here. She was clearly the point of contact for transit-related grant writing that Nick Ducote did with her. And I'm leaning heavily also on Kevin's expertise because, one of his concepts is to have a point person at the county who tracks all grant work. And so I think a work session on that is very helpful because I think you have like eight different departments and eight different approaches. And so keeping track of that is very important.
Yeah, and I just also want to remind people that there's a risk reward. Just because you apply for a grant doesn't mean you're going to get it. So you can spend $5,000 or $10,000 applying for a small grant, a $50,000 grant. Yeah. And you got to realize that your chances of being successful are better with the professional packet that would be presented by one of these guys, but there's no guarantee. I mean, just because you've hired Babe Ruth to get up and swing for you in the bottom of the ninth doesn't mean he's going to hit a home run.
Yeah, and Katie can speak to this as well, but, particularly with Nick Ducote, we've had a couple conversations, looking at the universe of different grants that are out there, and if the risk isn't worth the effort, we pass on it. So the two that he's working on, we feel really confident about.
I can also mention this from my district attorney hat, that we're one of those parts that maybe can get some grants, but I can also see, my employee that normally handles kind of grant stuff, maybe used to talking to folks at the state. So maybe long conversation, things like that, lots of questions. Then they'll say, oh, don't approach that same way. If you're talking about the grant writer, we gotta be very concise, as you were saying. So I mean, there would be a training that my office would be beneficial to have, because we might do grants, but we're not used to it the same way working with a grant writer. There's probably a lot of other departments like that might look at it, but might not know the process.
Well, just to add one more comment, Justin, we probably need a list of qualifications or protocol about this, and the internal committee, which was me and Katie and Commissioner Lindsay and Kevin and Sabrina, right?
Yeah.
This new grant writing program does not take the place. It's for special projects. It's, I apply on my own completely for grants that I'm familiar with, and I don't even need to use Ducote. Folks in the Public Works Department, Sandy and Kirstie, have had a lot of success. I don't think that's my understanding of how this new program will work, is that they still have the privilege and responsibility of carrying out grants. It's only new stuff or, pretty specialized stuff that we'll rely and lean on a consultant to help us with. But that's a policy decision. So I think the idea of a work session is a good one.
We started out with this one kind of more. This is the idea. We started out with this discussion on this extension of, or on this agreement for this particular project, not to exceed the $10,000, but it kind of wraps in also to the discussion in the future, trying to get them on that separate grant. So that's Chair Jordan, that's what you were mentioning. The
yeah.
Fact of that.
Yep.
Kind of being connected, but it is more for this individual project.
I'm going to approve the updated contract with Ducote Consulting regarding the Heritage Trail project.
I'll second.
I've been moved and seconded to approve the updated contract with, is it Ducote or Ducote?
Ducote. It's not the motorcycle.
Yeah, Ducote Consulting. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Yeah, I know, Tamara, attorneys and various ascendary ones like grant writers can get expensive, right? The CDA had some attorneys at $300, $400, $500, and Then the Malheur Enterprise comes sniffing around, and we had to get a litigant attorney at like 700, and the board was fairly frightful. And I said, well, the option is, well, we could just do things correctly and not worry about it. So there's always that. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. 3-0.
Did you
vote? Yeah.
I did, yes.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it.
I heard it.
Thank you, Sally. Okay.
My bad. I should have said unanimous. With that, Commissioner Lewis, thanks, Tamara. And we will jump back down to item F. You want to frame it up for us, Commissioner Lindsay? It's some Lukwama discussion.
Yeah, so the Lower Umatilla Basin Groundwater Quality Management Committee has been, under the direction of DEQ, undergoing what they're calling a reset. It was been an active committee for years. I don't even remember the original.
90.
Active, inactive, active. It's, you know, kind of fluctuated depending. It became obviously a focus and much more active with the nitrate issues that have arisen, and especially when we did the emergency declaration. As that activity grew, everyone started asking, who are the voting members? Who actually gets to make action decisions here? And in the past, that was very soft. McDevin with the Port of Morro has been the chair for many, many years, did a great job keeping updated notes and keeping the website updated and et cetera, calling consistent meetings. That then went over to Scott, and I'm sorry, I forgot his last name, with DEQ, who became the chair again.
Lucas,
thank you. Great activity. As I've said many times over my time there, a lot of science presentations that we heard great information, but we walked out of the room and nobody, you know, really took a lot of activity just because it wasn't a staff person or a vote taken to make that activity happen. Action plans were created, so don't get me wrong, they've done a lot of work. They've done a lot of great work. The reset by DEQ has been spearheaded by Randy Jones. He is the outreach person with DEQ locally. I think he's done a stellar job at trying to drive this into a voting membership. They created 10 seats at the table, if you will. And then they came to myself and Commissioner Doran, being the representatives at the committee, and said that they placed their trust in us vetting how to fill those 10 seats. And I'd be happy to pull out my file and name what those 10 seats are. So we spent a lot of time, lunches, breakfast, coffee, engaged our planners in some of those meetings to help us work through those conversations, and got to a recommendation to them, which DEQ supported and made the final decision. Some of those seats, DEQ said, foot stomp, it will be this entity or this person, and we didn't disagree. So those were rolled out at a Lukwama meeting last week. A couple things need to happen moving forward that I will bring forward a little more organized. One is that we need to decide who we want to be the alternate to our seat. And of course, come January, my name needs to be replaced with another commissioner's name at the county seat there. The next meeting is January 4th, so I think it's important before then that we pick an alternate so that we have consistency at our seat, and then that way the new board can move forward with putting a primary in place. That said, everyone agrees that there's been a big change. The one consistent piece of this, besides myself, which is very limited, and Commissioner Doran, which is very limited, has been Randy Jones with DEQ. And so Randy Jones is retiring at the end of December. But I had a brief conversation with him and said, if we request, as two counties, that you remain in place to carry the water a little bit longer, the committee can decide how long that is, but into 2023, so there's some consistency at that table, would you be willing? And he said yes. Thus, this letter, Commissioner Doran is in support of this, and I understand that Umatilla County has already signed off on it, although I don't have their signatures. I would like Morro and Umatilla County to request DEQ allow or appoint Randy Jones to carry the LaGuama committee into 2023 for consistency as they move forward and get through voting. Selini is the new chair. She's very new to government meetings and very new to the LaGuama, although extremely, as a PhD in water quality, extremely knowledgeable. I think it would help her also carry this forward. I asked Roberta to maybe clean this up a little bit so it's one page, not two, perhaps shrink the logos, and then we could get it back to Umatilla County and Morrow County. So this could come forward in a consent calendar next week. I think sooner than later, but it could come forward next week if you'd like a little time to do your research. But I'd love us to sign on to this request. I heavily recommend it.
So the request is to have it come back in the consent calendar next week?
Unless you're comfortable with approving it today. We would have to, in that approval, allow Roberta to probably use our electronic signatures because she'll need to work with Umatilla County. This can be one page and be much cleaner.
Right.
But if we allow electronic signatures, as long as it's only fixing it, we could do that today, too.
Tamara, just to round it out a little, I know you've worked a lot with Randy, as have I, on this and other things. I know here a month ago, he actually took the time to come all the way down and meet with myself for an hour before the BOC meeting, and then I think he additionally met with you. So he certainly knows his way out of Salem and kind of knows the local area, and I know he's worked with Madison Farms and some of those things, and he's got some a different perspective and some different ideas on how we might attack the future of the nitrate issue, right? And even some things that are probably not pertinent to this necessarily, but with some getting into the forest, right, and getting some of that charcoal product that some of these farms are interested in that can start alleviating some of the challenges, and there's some exciting things going on there. So anyway, I just didn't know if you wanted to speak on his behest or behalf, or maybe not. Just anything to color the conversation.
Briefly, and thank you, Chair. I have worked with Randy for 20 plus years. He and served together with him for a year on the Governor's Regional Solution Team. He is a voice of reason, has an incredible amount of institutional knowledge, particularly about the Guama, but the other issues that you mentioned. He is going to retire at the end of December. And there's also new administrator at the region. Chair Doty, you and I met with her, and in part of that discussion, got a commitment to ask DEQ to fund the LaGuama, which they haven't. It's been entirely voluntary for 20 plus years. It's super impressive the work that did get done with an entire voluntary committee and voluntary staff. So to lose Randy would be a really big step back, and if he's able to retire and work part-time, he is passionate about this, passionate about us understanding the science, moving forward with policy, and I would just have to say that together with the water coordinator position that the county will likely hire once that committee makes a recommendation, I think we can set in place the right people to move this forward. So yeah, I completely support Randy, and even though his name attached is DEQ, he sees the big picture, and it's the institutional knowledge of his agency, of the state, and our region here as well.
Yeah, I would make a motion that we join Umatilla County in supporting him as presented in this letter.
Are you okay with electronic signatures?
Yeah, I'm okay with electronic signature. Doesn't matter to me. If we've approved it, we've approved it.
Thank you. I'll second.
I've been moved and seconded. I see you've got them via email and some of these things here that probably need to be substantively. If we leave it,
as it cleaned up a little bit.
Yeah.
Between the
two of
us. Yeah.
Okay.
Not a little bit, but yeah, we'll work on it for sure.
Yeah.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries 3-0. Does that give you enough direction?
Yeah, thank you.
Do that. So, with that, Justin, we will jump down. You wanted to have a discussion about
different dates.
Different
so one
dates.
One is going to be the times for the board. Sometimes we'll do the board of commission meeting a short one, usually approving APs.
Mm-hmm.
So Wednesday, I think they have not APs, but the whole, I think it's next week's payments, something like that. So a lot of times we've had that in the morning. I had an opportunity to talk to Roberta about it. We were trying to look at the schedule, trying to think when are different meetings set, things like that. And I just thought, well, it better be good to get everyone here together to see for next Wednesday what time the board wants to have the board commission meeting, the short one. A lot of times we just call in or what's doing, just appear via Zoom very quickly, too. So that's the first question. Next Wednesday or whatever day, what time are you guys thinking about? I don't remember what it was like, what days it was before.
We usually do a call-in, but did we do it early or did we do it at 9?
I remember,
yeah, it seems like me like it was an 8 or 8.30 because there was it kind of conflicted a little bit with like general session or something that day. I guess we could look at the AOC agenda real quick and see.
Looks like there's a break at 9.15?
Yeah, it seemed like
9.30.
We... yeah.
You have that pulled up?
I can pull up right now. Yeah, let me see. Trying to do this. 8 o'clock. So at 8, there's a congressional staff meeting room. That's Associated Oregon County's planning director. Second floor is 8:15. So when they start the concurrent session, inflation reduction, managing growth. There's one at 9 o'clock, Oregon Affairs Association, Oregon Association of Oregon Mental Health Programs. There is a network break at 9:15.
Let's do that.
Okay, network break, so 9:15.
What?
Okay, 4 or 9, yeah.
Okay.
Does that work?
Yeah, it works for me. I can make anything work.
Yeah, I can too.
9:15.
We'll just need to find a place once we get down there where we can have it. If we can't find a place, we can do it in somebody's room.
Also, a lot of times you've been by the coffee shop, they have those tables down there that might work out. It gets a little bit louder, maybe pick up a certain break, but it should work out. So when we get down, we'll touch base.
Yeah.
Okay. So 9:15 looks like. Plan to be just a short VOC, which is either consent slash the APs. Like normally it's just like a 10 or 15 minute thing, normally.
Yeah.
Okay. If it changes, we can add more time. But. And the other one was looking at the calendar for board commission meeting over here. So the equipment is set up there. I think we're not sure yet whether it be in the courtroom aspect or in the conference room, but really just trying to find the date. It's probably the most important thing first, and then we can figure out what room I can talk to Judge Neal to make sure his schedule, if he has any court stuff going on certain Wednesdays. So 23rd, 30th, you know, on the calendar, whatever you guys think.
I would think 23rd would be good. Sorry.
November
23rd?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have any heartbeat, but that works.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah, the one other caveat, Justin, I'll jump back to the top and get us back to the bottom again and again. You know, I think there's ability for some transport and agency licensing that's not low to the level of what we discussed before that I think I will, but it's challenge with AOC, I understand. So, but if we
need to add something we can, we'll just
put it but if we can at least get with the liaison and maybe get something crafted up, and whether the, you know, the degree of public involvement that's going to be necessary and it's going to be precluded, we can set it with reasonable certainty potentially at that following one, but I'll get with you, and certainly you can get with the liaison and we can kind of flesh that out.
Well, if there's a time certain, assumingly this room is still set up for public.
Correct. I think we press
on that
here.
Day.
Yeah.
You know, and if we know there's a little more detail than just a standard AP blessing that we usually do at conference, we'll just work harder to find a more private area that's not so noisy. You know, myself and Commissioner Russell both being not here next year, we can miss a, you know, usually I like to be at those things because you learn so much, but potentially there's less to bring back, so.
So and also theoretically, too, since it's via Zoom, with people have their cell phones, you each be in your own individual spots.
True.
And just appear wherever.
True.
Right. So, I mean, that, it should work actually just fine, just like anybody
else here. So for the record, we're looking at the 23rd in...
Here again. And so we'll be at the new building, and I will touch base myself with Judge Deal. Okay. To see whether the courtroom works, if he, you know, what his schedule is, if he has any court matters. If not, the conference room can work out also. It's, we can move the tables around and make that work, I believe, also just fine. I mean, it's not as big as this room, but it still works, I think, pretty well.
Yeah. Okay. With that, in and under business, we'll go to old business. And a few weeks ago, and as I'm finding out through previous boards or executive sessions and some work our assessor or surveyor have done, the continuing discussion on the county-owned cistern, and Commissioner Lindsay, I'm going to leave it to you to kind of frame this up for us.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of information out there on the cistern. Currently, that property is owned by Willow Creek Valley Economic Development, the surrounding property. They are working hard to obtain grants and get to infrastructure for a housing development. The research I've done, although I've been provided a lot more detail since then, shows that in fact we own it, and in fact it was put in for the courthouse. It's the county's cistern. I think a lot of things happened. A lot of things happened in executive session that I have no idea why they were done in executive session. It should have been in public because there was no lawsuit.
I would agree. The very first commission meeting I came to, we had an executive session.
I'm glad you agree.
On that night, Justin was not our legal counsel at the time, but I let legal counsel and Judge Tallman know that I didn't think that was right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I talked to Rob Bovet after going to county college, and he said, yeah, that's not right.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I think you've mentioned that once. Anyway, you know, it went back and forth. It went round and round, and we can all go through the details of it. For me, the fact is we have an economic development engine that owns property. We have a cistern that we know is put in for the county's use, the courthouse itself. And be it Scrivener's errors or not, we own a cistern that we didn't fence off, we're not taking care of, it's dangerous. And I would love us to engage Public Works to go look at it, maybe work with council and the assessor on who, you know, the legality of the property itself. But I think we have a responsibility, probably we did back then, it didn't get finished, to deal with the dangerous item, much like the gas station. Unfortunately, we own it. And get it out of there. Eric didn't feel like it was going to be that big of a deal, but I'm going to take him up there and show it to him because we have the staff to do it, that we get it out there, get it out of there, get it filled in, get the property deeded over, and let Willow Creek Valley Economic Development get a housing, please, if only they could, done. It's been our mantra to support housing and infrastructure anyway. I don't know why we wouldn't deal with this dangerous situation and move on. So that's my proposal that we could bring back formally. Just wanted to start the conversation more.
Yeah, I'd like to see a plan from Public Works on what they think it's going to take to I guess, close that cistern properly. I hate to see, because the county did put the cistern in 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Whether we got the property description right or not, everybody knows that it's the county cistern. And we need to close our cistern, but I need to know how much that's going to be. Is it going to be $10,000 or $1 million?
Yeah. I think the bid was $15,000 by an outside entity back then. Like you said, your first year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember back. I was like 20. I guess I remember when Burke came by.
Burke thought it was closer to 20.
Yeah, and then the idea. I think at a certain point, the idea would be, well, let's fence things off instead. But that maybe never got done either. I really have no idea. But I think that was at least my small recollection of it.
Yeah.
There was also additional discussions about property description aspects that kind of came in afterwards, some back and forth. And yeah, that still got, I remember a few comments from the prior landowner, or was, and then raising some questions still, and just never got moved forward anymore. It was the concern of the property description, but then also it's easier to say, well, we'll just leave it there. We don't want to deal with it now. But it sounds like right now, if there's housing, that's been a little bit there was a concern about it before, but now if there's an idea saying, hey, we have this housing, we can build this, then I can see more of a push to say, there's going to be a cost, but the thing has only gone up more. We would have done it earlier. It would have been cheaper for the county. Now, it is going to be more expensive now, but
well, it's going to be more expensive. The past owner, Kyle Robinson, basically said the same thing, that he was it was a back and forth situation, and he was just running cows. So at the time, he thought, okay, fine, I'll deal with it later. I don't want to fight the county any longer. And at the time, the county was a little more strapped. We have the capacity now to deal with it, so.
Yeah, 8 years ago, we didn't have the money to fix it, and the financial condition of the county has changed. So while we have the resources, I'd like to see us do it. I think Mike's got his hand up, and then there's a bunch of stuff in the chat. I don't know what that is. But.
Commissioner Russell, you'd reached out to me yesterday wanting to get some information. I believe there was a survey that was done by prior county surveyor Steve Haddock. I couldn't locate it on my own, and I reached out to him, and he sent me the file number for that survey, and he talks about the description for that 100 by 100 piece where the reservoir is supposed to be, and it's not. And I emailed you that this morning, Commissioner Russell, if you...
Yeah, I saw that, Mike, and I forwarded that email on to... the other two commissioners, Justin and Roberta, so they should have it in their file. Whether they probably haven't had a chance to look at it, but.
Right. He gives a pretty good narrative in his narrative regarding that piece specifically.
Well, I'd encourage you to reach out to Public Works and have them get with get the surveyor stuff and go up there and have Eric. And I'm sure if he needs dollars to get some sort of assessment done, whatever. But at least we'll know what we don't know, right?
Yeah. So. Unfortunately, it was just water, so we don't have a brownstone situation.
Yeah.
I'll work on it and bring it back with what everybody's forwarded me, or have Eric bring it back.
Perfect. We will make sure he's on the agenda for the 23rd.
Thank you.
What's in the chat? Anything that we need to...
I thought we suspended the chat.
Whatever you guys want to do. The only issue came up, however the board wishes to proceed. The chat's to come in, but the hard part is, you get frequently on the chat. Some of the argument is like, well, I guess it's, do we let people talk up in the meetings, or do they raise their hand? It's a tough balance. I can pull them, but whatever you guys open them up.
Okay.
It's whatever you guys want to do.
just back to the cistern a little bit. It sounds to me like Whitbed owns the surrounding property, and I think they will be easy to work with if this is just a Scrivener's error, and it's not a large piece of property that the county thought their cistern was on. Apparently it's not on that piece of property, or the legal description is not right, but if we close the cistern properly, I wouldn't, at least right now, without additional information that I'm not aware of, I wouldn't be opposed to donating that property to Whitbed for their housing project.
Yeah.
Not like I'm donating it to Justin Nelson to enrich him. It's for the public good.
Yeah,
it's not even big enough. If those become lots to build a house, you couldn't build a house on what we own.
Yeah, it's a very small piece of property that had a sister on it.
Let's donate it before we fill it in.
Yeah.
No, I like both those ideas. We'll get Public Works up there because there is a liability issue, right, Justin?
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately.
Yeah. Well, and I thought it was being fenced off some, but I guess it hasn't been fenced off. That was one thing I remember before was the concern, because I think originally, and Mr. Russell Brecky is here, it came as the cistern maybe being taken down by the landowner saying, hey, it's a dangerous spot, people are walking around. And so the thought was, okay, what's the cost to take it down? Oh, that sounds kind of expensive. Oh, there's a liability. Well, I guess we can fence it. And that's not really anything the planner wanted, but okay, well, we'll fence it. But if that wasn't done, then I think that was the idea, that that was going to be done to help keep kids from running around, jumping, going, climbing up on it, things like that, because it's not inspected. It's just been up there forever. So, I thought, it should at least have been that, but getting rid of it probably is the best option, because just the cost at that point. the county giving up or whatever, whatever rights we have, to whatever our lot is, whatever it is,
yeah.
We're going to give it over to somebody. And we're not saying we, you know, we're not going to do it. A warranty deed of some sort, but it does need, we have ownership. As we've taken down everything we have, you can have the rest of our ownership, whatever we own up there.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah, have it as is.
Yeah.
Once we think once we close
do,
this.
Once we've done our part.
Excellent.
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely. With that, we will go to department reports. And we've got first up the surveyor's quarterly report, Matt Kinney. And unless he has joined us, I think we are going to just accept it as written or presented. Appreciate what Matt does. I know he's got some, and Mr. Haddock, too, I think, had some thoughts. Is Matt on? No, had some thoughts relative to the Irrigan area. And tried to do some rework and reset things. Tamara, we'll dive right into the Planning Department monthly report. Do you want to update us while you're on here?
You bet. Thank you. I do have a written report. We went back this month to showing some of the permit numbers that we had in September and October. I do want to call out that we have 3 Planning Commission vacancies. Actually, Juan has requested to continue, but the protocol of the county is when a term expires is to advertise. So we are accepting and eager to talk to anybody who's interested in serving on the Planning Commission. It's good work, I think, and important for the county. A position from Heppner, a position from my own, and a position from Irrigan. So they can get them in by the end of the month. We'll schedule it for board appointment in December. We're continuing work on the natural hazard mitigation plan. I don't see Paul Gray on the phone. He's the lead on that. We now have all of 5 cities signing on board, so they will benefit from the county's lead on that as well. In terms of natural hazards, I included a reference to a report that the Department of Land Conservation and Development put out called Wildfire Adapted Communities Recommendations Report. Counties will not be required to implement that until the new set of risk maps, fire risk maps, come out. And you recall, I think each of the commissioners received some phone calls from people who received a risk map from Oregon Department of Forestry. They have since withdrawn those maps, and I learned at the Planners Conference, excellent panel on this, that they expect the new maps to come out in fall of 2023. So I will do my best to let, again, citizens in the county know how they can provide input, although it's my understanding that anybody who owns property who would be affected by that new set of risk maps will again receive a direct mailing. Let's see, we had a really good discussion last Friday with Undersheriff, well, soon to be Undersheriff, Brian Snyder, and County Council Justin, Stephen Resix, and myself about drone technology and protocol for using the drone for taking pictures of private property. Essentially, as we follow the same protocol as the sheriff's office. So if you want to take somebody's picture, you need their permission or a search warrant. So that was good to know, and Stephen's taking the lead on that. We have several energy projects, both being permitted locally and at the state level, and those application review is for just one of them is pretty time intensive. Not complaining, just to share with you that working on those. Stephanie Case is taking the lead on the Heritage Trail. Really excited about that. She's been in the Irrigan area for a long time. I, of course, will continue to be involved with it, but she's taking the lead, and the most recent effort is, in addition to working with Nick Ducote on grants, and we're tag-teaming our interface with Nick on that for the time being, just because I have more familiarity with the grant aspect. But Stephanie's also working with Karen Cardenas, our student intern from Irrigan. We won the lottery again on student interns. So she is working on working on some community engagement to update the interpretive panels. And with some good research, they were able to find the sign company who manufactured those 20-some years ago. So we have a template of what those look like, and probably we'll add a few to it. Again, if anybody's interested in the Heritage Trail, the signs, the interpretive panels, the routing, you know, please call the office, talk to Stephanie or me, and we'll help you. Together with your packet this month is the first report from Brian Points Consulting on the Goal 9 economic development work for the Willow Creek Valley. There's not a lot in that first report. I just included it. It's just, what, 4 pages? Just a little bit more information on what they will be doing. Monday we had our final meeting with Eco Northwest, a different consultant working on the housing implementation plan for the Willow Creek Valley cities. And the cities and I agreed to pause that just a little bit in terms of how we might work together to implement those. We're going to give it a pause until after the first of the year, because we're everybody's busy, and we're also working with the Points Consulting on another project. But once both of those are complete, I think it's a really good package for the cities, at least for the next year or two, to look for funding and to have strategies moving forward. Lots of work continuing on a variety of water issues. Monday, the committee will convene to review the RFP proposals for the water coordinator position. And last week, we kicked off the first meeting with the Rural Economic Vitality Program here at Eastern Oregon University. I'm here for the day. That REV program is contracting directly with Department of Land Conservation and Development to come up with a rural engagement effort, which will include a report of how to reach historically underserved persons for both use of transit, transportation, alternative mode, and the Heritage Trail. So those things, I think, are coming together well. And then at the end of the page, you see we had a little bit of fun. We got third prize as a team. I had nothing to do with it. Everybody else did the work. On our door decoration. So that was a lot of fun for that day. I think that's all. Any questions? Did I drone on too long?
No, you're fine. Frankly, I was just looked at the email you sent me. So, any questions, comments, thoughts? Oh, I had a quick one. Justin, yeah. Tamara said that Stephen can't take a picture of somebody but I thought if they were in a common area that you could.
But you're not in a common area, they're flying a drone above
and
certain
gotcha.
Airspace. So the gotcha. Idea being is first you're using it, it's a government action, so that's one first factor. Second, it's being used for a violation, not criminal aspect, but still a penalty for code enforcement is the idea. So the idea is can we use drones to go over residences for code enforcement violations? And the response, like, well, no, I mean, you can't. It's allowed, but it has to go through for still a search warrant. We go through a justice court. So theoretically, you could have a named person, like a neighbor, somebody saying, hey, they got like a million cars back there. I know that's a violation. And you drive by, and you got a fence up. You can't take pictures. You can't do it. You can't, or you can take pictures, but you can't, like, see it from a sidewalk, right? So maybe you flew a drone over, you could see it. That, the idea was being, well, the safest option there is to get a search warrant that talks about that, or an inspection warrant for code enforcement. It's a separate type of thing. And at that point, it can be used. So that's the idea right now. That we've got a more formalistic process to go through, which is fair, which is fine, and that's how it should be right now. So that's it was good to have a conversation with the sheriff's office too, Stephen, and see the equipment and options, but. That's the idea. There's also kind of unique differences between, we were looking way back to search warrants, we went in like drug enforcement teams do it, visuals, through helicopters, but they're above certain heights. There's a difference there too. I thought you have certification for about 500 feet or something, a lot of times the drones would be a little bit lower than that. So it's different nuances we sat down and talked about, but came to that idea that the best option is to go through that process. That
I guess some of those photos are available to the general public. If I go on Google Earth, I can see
how many cars my neighbor had when they took that satellite picture.
Correct. And that's right. And that's the difference between government action versus a private person. Like, we have private, you know, theoretically, the idea is the position could be you have, you know, neighbor Jimmy, Jimmy has his drone. He drives it over, he flies it over, the neighbor sees, you know, something happening, your code enforcement, something else happening, and then notifies law enforcement and says, hey, here are the photos, here's the video of it right here. Well, law enforcement can base off of that. That's okay. They can use that. This is, that wasn't government action, or the government directed that had that search be done. But if law enforcement went to Jimmy and said, hey, your neighbor, I know you got a drone, Jimmy. How about you, be awesome, just be great if all of a sudden we have some footage from, you know, tomorrow over that house, then that'd be more happy at the direction of law enforcement, which you're protected from illegal government searches or, you know, intrusions that way. So it's little nuances there. But you're right. Google Maps, showing a date there, that's fine. Yes.
I thank you, Chair and Commissioners. I would just add that it was a really good, robust discussion, and I know that the Sheriff's Office, we learned on Friday, is interested in acquiring some drones and training multiple officers to use those. In the meantime, we've agreed informally that if they need Stephen and his drone and his drone license to assist, say, in a search and rescue, we've all agreed that would make a good, we're happy to share those resources interdepartmentally. So,
I think it's important.
Good experience, I think, all the way around.
It's also important. I think for the conversation the sheriff was talking about, their focus wasn't like on, you know, searching residences like that. That really their focus, when I talked to the sheriff, was about the search and rescue. Mm-hmm. Most recently with an individual here in Heppner, they actually utilized a, you know, heat seat type of drone from Umatilla County to try to find heat signatures for a person who might be missing, things like that. And so that, I think that was their focus. Like, okay, it should be great to have that kind of resource for people who are missing up in the mountains sometimes. You know, instead of being able to try to get ATVs and stuff through, they can cover a decent range, just having someone up there for heat signatures. That's what their focus was for that benefit. And it was great to see Stephen offer for that search and rescue aspect, saying, hey, if you guys need some help or a bike can be used, you know, let me know. So that was their focus on that search and rescue aspect with some of the cases kind of recently and the winter weather coming on.
Tamara, I was going to talk about it in my commissioner's report, but this week we had the Local Officials Advisory Council, which I received that appointment from the Department of Land Use, DLCD. We had a, I'm shocked at how much engagement we're getting. The director is in our meetings, and it's just been really exciting. As you know, it's three people from cities and three county commissioners. I apparently am the only real East Side person. And come January, I'll most likely, will obviously be making a handoff back. DLCD will choose my replacement. But I hope that you East Side planners are having conversations around maybe recruiting to that position, because it does have a lot more pull than I thought it would. But one conversation that we had was around rulemaking for Goal 1 engagement. And I'm a little frustrated that I don't think we do a great job, don't get me wrong, in Morrow County, but I think we're learning and we're doing better. But I don't want the state to come tell the counties how to, here's the rules of how you have to engage people. I think we need to figure that out locally with, you know, creating committees and outreach people. But I just want to get that on your radar, because that rulemaking is coming up, and I think we need to have a loud voice there. And then secondly, DLCD is going over policy, and the director and the assistant director allowed us to create basically a list as local officials advisory to that. And we were going to be given our own time to speak. Our city representative is going to take the lead on that. But if you all, and if you have any input to get onto that list, I do feel like we're being given a really loud voice to DLCD via this committee. So I just welcome you to share that forward to me sooner than later.
Great advice. I didn't realize you were the only voice from Eastern Oregon, so I'll pass that message along to my peers in Eastern Oregon and cities as well. It's I think it's terrific that the department and the commission, LCDC, are reinvigorating that group and really giving local officials a voice. It's a great use of a county commissioner or city council person, person's time.
And Tamara, if I were you, I would reach out to the two new commissioner elects. They've both got a lot of years experience on the planning commission. I mean, between the two of them, they've probably got 35 years of experience.
Mm-hmm. I'll do that for sure. Terrific idea. Yep.
Well, and before I tender a resignation, I'll make sure that you bring that back to, yeah, make sure we get in line for an application to serve there. If so desired.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Tamara. Well, thank guys. We'll jump down to, is Jaylene on, Justin? Or we'll just take her treasurer's report as presented. And I don't have any questions, but if the board does.
She's on.
Is she on?
Yeah. Yeah, I stopped in and visited with her for a little bit yesterday. This is her busy time of year.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I know Mike's busy and his office is busy and Jaylene certainly, so.
She's on, but it doesn't look like she's meeting.
Well,
there.
Unless she's got something to update us on, or if the board has any questions, certainly bring it up here or walk over and pop your head in there, because she will be hard at it, I'm sure, if it probably may take a minute. So, with that, we'll go to liaison reports. Commissioner Russell, anything to update us on with your criminal?
I did stop in and talk to Mike yesterday a little bit about the foreclosed property sales. And he thinks it'd be good to have a work session on that, because he doesn't have the authority to do anything other than, he gets a list of the foreclosed property, but he thinks it would be a work session that would involve the Sheriff's Department, County Council, at least a commissioner, probably finance and the treasurer, and his idea would be to have an annual foreclosed property sale, and if we don't have any foreclosed property, then we just skip it that year. But it's up to the sheriff to hold that auction. So it's really an amount of timing. And he and I both thought that, you know, if we just have a policy in place that has a structure and we get the property back into beneficial use each year, that's probably the goal. So anyway, as soon as Mike's busy season is over, maybe he and I can talk again about a work session and involve the department heads that need to be in it and come up with a plan that can be approved by the Board of Commissioners for a foreclosed property program. Helping out in elections during this election cycle. Greg Swick, who is one of the chief volunteers and helps run the vote counting machine, had knee replacement surgery yesterday. So last week I went in and shadowed Greg for 3 or 4 hours to watch what he does and run the machine, or help run the machine. And then I was over with the elections people yesterday from 3 till about 10:45 in the evening. And from my viewshed, elections in Morrill County are really safe. I'm always impressed with the knowledge that our county clerk's office has on election law. And every time I'm in there, I learn something new. We had two ballots that came in one envelope. One was signed and one was not signed, and they knew exactly what the law was, but just to impress me, they pulled out a sheet of paper with that law on it and showed me what the solution was there. And again, I'm just impressed with their knowledge and the help that they have and how well they run elections. That's really all I've got.
Yes. Any liaison report for your group?
Yeah. Again, the director's meeting yesterday. We did a round table. It was really a great meeting. What a energetic and wonderful group of directors we have. I just, those meetings have gotten to be really energetic and having great conversations, and I was just I really enjoyed the day. But one thing came up, kind of side note, and that is that IT and the surveyor are technically contracts, which in my mind look more like tourism and grants. So I was looking, and I think IT we put under Mr. Russell, and surveyor we put under myself, liaison, and they feel a little bit more like contracts that belong in finance as contract management and not liaison because they're not departments. So just want to bring that forward maybe to a bigger discussion, not today, but it feels a little awkward that they are, so Kevin, maybe we can talk about it in the future and bring it back to a formal conversation, but they feel a little more like tourism, Carrie Welchley, than, not that they shouldn't be at our department head meetings if they want to, but I don't know that I should be a liaison of the surveyor so much as it should be a contract management under finance. So my recommendation is that IT and the surveyor go under finance, and Kevin for management, and obviously those two are welcome to reach out to anyone, but we can talk that through further. It just came out up in conversation yesterday. I think that was really the only thing I had. I think we need to make sure that when we're having conversations with any of these departments, if they involve some directives, especially if you're not the liaison, that perhaps we include either the liaison, or if that's uncomfortable, we include council. Because there's been a few conversations or directives given that I think are maybe inappropriate without further conversation. So I just would recommend if we're stepping into things that are big directives that we include council or the liaison to the department. That's all I have.
Well, very good. And the only thing I want to make mention is Lindsay and I are, you know, a lot of moving parts down there, but the firm that's coming in to do the wage study would like to meet with the board on the 23rd. We'll have to make note that it's going to be in the other end of the county and kind of have an executive session discussion with us, and then is ready to kind of hit the ground. We'll talk to Lindsay and make sure that it's appropriate for the executive session discussion, but and then hit the ground running. So I think it's something the board has certainly been pushing to get done, and the firm is harnessed up and ready to go to work. So that will be on the 23rd. So make sure that we'll put that on your radar. With that, we will move into hearing nothing further, we'll move into correspondence. Roberta, what do we have in correspondence?
We have a letter from Lisa Pratt, who is also in the audience.
Okay. And anything further?
That's it for correspondence.
Yeah, okay. As always, we encourage the board or the folks to go through that and have a look-see at it. So.
And on Lisa's correspondence, it just highlights, I guess, you know, this last Friday there was three ambulance calls in the north end of the county at similar amounts of time, and the third one had to be responded, or was responded, from the Arlington ambulance in Gillon County. I think, you know, that it's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
We'll move to Commissioner reports. Commissioner Russell.
Yeah, I don't really have anything.
Commissioner Lindsay.
I think most of my projects, other than the courthouse work, OJD reached out to me wanting to know where we're at with that work, so I'm going to put together a meeting with them to give them an update. I'll include Justin, Judge Deal, most likely, because he and I have been collaborating on this effort as well. And we talked about it a little bit, but I think we need to bring it forward. My follow-up from the last time we talked about it is that we're hugely being served by video, even more so than was brought up last week. So I want to bring that back together, but I'm going to have that conversation with him, because if they want us to commit to a building, as I mentioned, we really need them to commit to service. So still working that and trying to bring it back around before January, so that weight can continue to be carried forward, because we, OJD is committed to spending half the cost in Morrow County, and they want us to continue that effort. So I'll bring that back. That's all I have.
Okay. And I don't have anything too wild and crazy before we sign some documents. I think you guys will recall we had a discussion over the last couple of years with the city and the Oregon military and public works to craft a road, a better entrance and a 90 degree entrance coming off of Tower Road and into the Army Depot, or into the bombing range, I'm sorry, not the Army Depot. And I was going to get some pictures of it yesterday or this morning, obviously. It was dark to dark. But it's about 90% completed at this moment. And they're putting the finishing touches on the gravel work. But I don't know whether we need to work Tamara and Public Works back into the equation to go and look and make sure that it's purple, especially where it interfaces with Tower Road. Lastly, and it's an interesting discussion where Justin was talking about, thankfully, that the citizen can fly a drone. I don't know what we're going to do moving forward. It's quite a conundrum that this board or the incoming board is going to face, and I'm happy to see Commissioner-elect Sykes is on. One of the challenges, of course, with the Enterprise Zone Board or the SIP agreements is, and I know Greg got with Mike a month back or so, is if any construction has begun on any project, it precludes somebody from doing an Enterprise Zone project. And they both got together and they said at that point a month or so ago that AWS had waived that option, frankly. Moving forward, it also has the same language relative to an SIP agreement. I visited Mike a little bit about it. He said, well, ultimately it's going to come down to this board or the future board with a wink and a nod looking the other way and recognizing that they haven't started construction or done $1 million worth of work before they've submitted an SIP application. But the reality of it is they've done $1 million worth of work and they haven't submitted an SIP application. I'm not going to look the other way, but I've also suggested all along that Amazon, when they come to your area, as they did in Loudoun, Virginia, will pay full bore. And I'm happy to say, at least on the Windy River site, that is exactly what they are going to now have to do. And I reached out to Art Fish the other day, who is the head of Business Oregon and is the one that accepts the applications. And he said, quote unquote, I said, Art, they cannot be doing any on-site construction. And he said, that is correct. And I said, well, what if there's some dirt moved? And he said, quote unquote, who's to say that dirt wasn't already moved? And the long and the short of it is there's a private citizen up there that's been flying a drone for the last month and has ongoing drone footage of the entire transformation of the site. So certainly I am not going to look away from this, and I think the difference, you can talk to Mike, is about $14 million a year as opposed to the $2 million, roughly, Commissioner Lindsay, that you were suggesting. So I think we can start building that into our budget moving forward, and so I'm excited to, have that opportunity. So, and I have nothing further, so with that, we will sign some documents.